Joining me today on the Culture Catch, the wildly inventive Neck from the band Queuing in Excelsis. Next on the Culture Catch. This is Dusty Wright for the Culture Catch. Joining me today is...
Dusty?
Hey, it's the lead singer and the founding founding father of the new band, Queuing in Excelsior.
In Excelsius.
In Excelsius, yeah. Pardon me.
Thank you.
Nick. Nick. I'm sorry, it's N-E-K is the spelling.
Right.
I guess they didn't give me a phonetic guide on the press release.
It's Nick.
Nick. All right, sorry. Nick... Anyway, welcome to the Culture Catch.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions here. First of all...
Before... You know, I got a question for
sure.
you.
Sure. Sorry.
How did you actually, you know, hear about us?
Well, a good friend of mine who is pretty heavy into prog rock had suggested I look you up. He actually has the vinyl copy. I think he might have got it from one of the record fairs.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately do not have a record player anymore,
yeah.
So he had to burn a copy. Oof. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
destroy that.
No, I wouldn't. No, I know.
How'd you like it?
Well, that's why you're here, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
But, I mean, when I was listening to the music, I have to tell you right out of the gate, I heard some influences from some of the early 70s prog rock bands that maybe some of our listeners aren't familiar
yeah.
with. You know, there's the obvious Yes.
Yes.
With Rick Wakeman on keyboards, more than Tony Banks, I think. And then some of the German stuff. But I think, really... I was kind of knocked out by some of your shorter pieces, even though I know you're using a lot of heavy time signatures.
Did you like that one that it was about 12 seconds long, but it was intense?
Well,
you know, we dropped several of those in there because
I actually didn't catch that. So was it like part of another song?
It was like a lead-in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing kind of is a seamless thing, but there are elements that remind me of Klaatu in your music. I had to tell you that because I don't know if a lot of people
Klaatu. Yeah, you know, I know those guys.
What do you think of them?
They suck.
Okay, well, I'm glad they're not together because if they heard that.
They're not together anymore?
I don't know. Maybe they are.
Jesus. I heard there was going to be a reunion thing.
Remember when they did the whole thing with Klaatu where they said it was really the Beatles? Do you remember that whole
Yeah, thing? Yeah. They had no way. The Beatles, forget it. But, you know, there's something interesting. Glad you brought up the Beatles. They did not do a lot with time signatures. I mean,
Come on.
Name me a Beatles tune in 11/8.
Well.
You know, 7/15. You know, we did, you know, you remember one of our first albums when we did Abbey Road, the entire Abbey Road in 7/15.
Come on, man.
No,
don't bullshit me now. I haven't heard that record. I heard the new record.
I am bullshitting you. Really.
Right.
We couldn't have done that.
But I was.
I'm glad you're hip to that.
Well, what I was going to say is that
when I'll send you one.
I would love if you did that. I mean, you know, there's nights at Arlene Grocery where they redo like Blood on the Tracks, and they do all these different things. It's really
Modest
punky.
Mouse. They blow, by the way.
Well, if you listen to Sun Kill Moon, do Modest Mouse.
No, yeah, okay.
You know, you got to give them props.
Yeah, but you know all these bands.
Well, come on, like how about a band like Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah?
They're very derivative. I mean, Hawkwind, they were breaking some ground.
Interesting you should say Hawkwind, because when I first heard the record, I said, there's some elements of your music that remind me of Hawkwind, that remind me of the band Camel.
Camel. Stop with Camel was a good band.
Caravan, Hatfield in the North, Matching Mole, some of those prog rock bands from the UK.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we're actually not in Williamsburg. I hate that scene. It's all sort of whining and, you know, a lot of people talking about pain. And, you know, I would rather, you know, just express the pain musically.
Well, it's a difficult listen, and I think if listeners aren't used to this, first of all, let me go backwards.
Oh, by the way, did you know we're reintroducing quad sound?
Well, I guess four with channel. I guess with 5.1 surround sound, you would just knock out the bass, and then you would have quad in theory.
We the bass comes through all four of the channels.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And well,
but anyways, you were saying Williamsburg.
So are you guys more like in Greenpoint, or are you more in Long Island City?
No, we're actually in Jericho. And we have like four houses next to each other.
Well,
there's a whole scene.
First, run down the band. Like, how did you guys happen? Did you put an ad on Craigslist? What brought, like, prog rock is really, you know, I think there's some young kids. I think of like Mars Volta. I guess King Crimson's still out there doing gigs.
Yeah. Well, we met at a swap meet.
Or like FFMU?
Yeah. Yeah, we were all... It's funny because there was a big heated argument going on at one of the tables. You know, there were a couple of people talking about, you know, the relative merits of, Adrian Belew, you know, when he sold out and, you know, things like that. And there was one very rare test pressing. I think it was... I'm just trying to remember. You know, I can't even really remember, but it was in quad, and we were fighting over it. And, you know, that was it. That's
how much did it sell for?
It was about $12 at the end of the day.
Right.
You know, it was a fair amount of money.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, especially if people are listening to any of this stuff in a compromised audio situation like the MP3 player, where you lose so much.
The compression is terrible.
Yeah. I mean, you're not getting an AIFF file. No. Do you guys, your press release said that your first record, you released it as a vinyl only.
Yeah, that's why it's called a record.
Yeah, silly me, sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Did you read the whole press release, or did you stop after the first few sentences?
Well.
Now that, I'm just playing the record. You know, I mean, come on.
All right.
You know, I got to tell you something.
You found me out.
I got to tell you something. There's something very strange.
Unprepared interviewer.
When I was coming up here from, I have to take the train into Penn Station.
Right.
You know, connect. Do you realize this is really weird? There's an entire subway station that's just abandoned down there underground. I went through there and I really got some inspiration for our next album. We have a song? All right, we're on. Okay, let's go. I'm sorry.
All right, sorry, man. All right, speaking of Lou Reed, actually, that brings up something interesting. Yep. Did Metal Machine Music, is that an album that ever found its way to your turntable? If so, was it an inspiration for any of your current music?
It was. I mean, I listened to side one. I couldn't get past side one. It was like, what could you say after side one of Metal Machine Music? We went to a factory and recorded. And I think that you could argue that we might have preempted Metal Machine, even though we heard it.
Right.
We might have preempted some other things.
Well, who are some of your keyboard heroes? I mean, I hear elements of maybe some Rick Wakeman.
Keith Emerson.
Did you like him when he was in the Nice, or was it more Emerson, Lake, and Palmer?
It was basically anything he did in Emerson, Lake, and Palmer that was in a strange, time signature, basically.
Did you study classically at school when you're coming up?
No, I wasn't much of a student. I actually was. I worked for the government.
You worked for the government?
The United States government.
When you got out of school?
Yeah, well, school wasn't much for me.
So did you do like a stint in the service? Because I guess you must have been like right after the Vietnam War. I'm guessing you're in your late 30s or something?
Yeah, it was a part of the service that's involved in delivering letters.
All right.
But
well,
not really the, Bukowski was because I have some literary influences too. He was into the post.
Well, I would hope that you have read.
Some of your
titles would lend me to believe that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just the name of the band, actually, Queuing in Excelsis.
What was, why that? I mean, why any name? I mean, why Pedro the Lion? Why, clap your hands, say
you
yeah.
You need a name. I would, but you bring up a good point, because really, why any name? That's true.
Right.
Why do we label things?
Right.
Why?
So you would have rather have just not had anything? Because I look at it and I was thinking maybe you came up with it for a cool acronym, CIE, which would be C, or Psy or Die, Psy. What would the acronym be since you're Nick, or is it Neck?
I think Psy.
Psy.
It would be Psy. And that's not, this is the thing. we leave it all open to interpretation, you know, as long as the time signature is right.
And how do you, is it the drummer, or do you come up with a drum part and then he tries to duplicate it? Because I know Captain Beefheart did a lot of that when he would play his songs. He would, like, actually articulate making sounds. Now, and like,
I'm loath to give away any of our secrets, but since I know nobody listens to this, I'll tell you. We just keep saying, make it weirder, make it weirder. You know, you wouldn't. Our society, which really doesn't have an appreciation for strange time signatures, there would be no currency to us being recognized. In fact, you know, we walk down the street, and somebody's not going to walk up to you and say, you know, hey man, you know, 9-7. It doesn't mean anything to people. I mean, okay, there was Brubeck. I neglected. You know, that
we're talking Dave Brubeck, right?
Yeah. He was. You know, my dad had some of his records. They were kind of scratched up. But they'd skip at a certain part.
Right.
You know, you're opening the memory banks. I think that was it. I think that was the inspiration. A scratch Dave Brubeck. And are you going to get that in our day and age?
Well,
not unless you go to those swap meets.
Well, you know, yeah, well, exactly. But I think those vinyl copies are supposed to be pristine copies, so you wouldn't have that
not the skip. Ones that I get.
All right, well, now on the serious note though, Nick, I was going to ask you
Nick,
all right,
it's kind of both.
All right, yeah. Have
people
you
always do that, by the way, sorry.
Yeah. all right, I got a gig
soon, but you know, go ahead.
Do you guys, yeah, I was going to ask you about that. When you're playing out live, it just must blow people's minds. And a friend of mine, our editor, Steve, said he caught you guys at a little joint in Williamsburg. And he's way into Charles Gayle.
Yeah.
He's into Matthew Shipp. He's into guys that really are so out improvisationally. And
right.
The time signatures are
right.
Really challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, he must have caught us at that gig. that was out at that wasn't Williamsburg actually. That was Southpaw. That was more near the slope.
Right.
And that's where all the hipper stuff's happening anyway. And he must have caught that one. And it was weird. I mean, to get all that gear, you know, because we do play with. I mean, first of all, you know, Bert. I mean, three tom-tom drums. I mean, basses. Excuse me. I mean, it's a lot of gear. I mean,
yeah,
Bozio, you know, one of our, you know.
Bozio played with Zappa. He played
Terry. The man has hundreds of drums, right. And we need that. You need that to keep the beats, you know, going.
Right. And Steve said you had your keyboard man had a bank. Well, that would be you. You're
yes,
the keyboard man.
That's right. Yeah.
Had a bank of vintage gear. You had an emulator. You had an early Moog.
Moog. Yeah.
Leslie.
I had some Korgs that were tube.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you maintain that? eBay.
Yeah.
A lot of eBay sales.
It's a lot of, you know, the best tubes. Not a lot of people know this. Never got out. The good stuff. You need a warm tone. Otherwise, people are just going to run screaming, especially at the volumes, you know, that we play.
Well, you can't get too loud in the club in New York, though.
You can. We actually have, you know, that place I was telling you about. Look on our website. It's all, you know,
as a matter of fact, I did look at the website and it said it was taken down due to some construction issues or some such thing. I don't know if the videos.
There was
streaming.
A guy. There was a kid that we met. He's kind of like he doesn't speak very good English, but he's like a genius programmer.
Right.
We'll get it up.
Right.
Just check the site.
Because we had a problem with our site. We had a kernel went bad, and we had to reboot everything.
Kernel?
Well, that's what they call it, like an extension on your web server.
Oh,
yeah.
Kernel.
So,
but really, I'm curious. You know, I know you're the interviewer, and I'm the interviewee, but I'm curious. I mean, really, what do you think about the revival of prog rock? I mean, yourself.
Well, quite honestly, I'm way into it. I love Mars Volta. You know, I go to the prog archive. I'm always posting things and pissing people off. Because I remember growing up, Harvey Gould, who was one of the lead singers of Tin Huey, worked at the local record store. And when I was a young buck, I'd go into the record store and I'd go, "Hey, Harvey, what do you recommend?" And he'd pull out all this English prog stuff. Like I said, Matching Mole, the early Brian Eno stuff, Can from Europe, you know, the Krautrock stuff.
Were you ever into Henry Cow?
Oh, way into Henry Cow, yeah.
Yeah, Henry Cow was the band.
Right.
All the album covers were a sock.
Yeah.
Of different types.
Yeah.
That was my sock. All I can say is those records were, they opened my mind. At that point, you could forget about 4/4.
Right.
I could barely contemplate 5/4 after listening to those. Now,
was there one record before that that really was the record that said, "This is what I got to be doing"?
You know, there was. It had to be McLaughlin, Birds of Fire, Mahavishnu.
I was going to say, was it Bitches Brew? But no. Right after that, which was Birds of Fire with Jerry Goodman and
Billy Cobham. Billy Cobham, yeah. Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Right.
Kind of an inspiration. You can kind of hear cueing in Excelsius Mahavishnu Orchestra. But really, what they were doing,
was heavy. There's no question. I picked up the Trident Sessions, which was the unreleased record, and it's even more out than the other stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no overdubs. No overdubs. Mike Oldfield, Tubular Bells, of course. I mean, come on. That was classic. Pre-Exorcist. That symphonic rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, why did Les Paul invent multi-tracking if not for... 14/7 time signature.
Right.
Whatever. You get the idea.
So what's been your biggest challenge besides people opening their mind to the experience? And it is difficult.
Look, it's not easy music. We're not going to get top 40 airplay. Right. We know that. But we're in talks with some people at Sirius, and... you know, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but, you know, I don't read all the fine print. And I know it's sort of a competitor, but there is going to be a prog station coming soon to a satellite near you.
Well, I think it'll do very well, quite honestly.
You know, because I think people really are sick of all this sort of whiny, who needs any more of that, really,
So you think bands like the Strokes and what's another band, Cat Power, and what's another hot New York band that's getting on the press right now?
Yeah.
You think it's just all a fad, and
it's a fad because you know what are huge speakers for? They're for this kind of music.
Well, I don't think anyone uses huge speakers anymore. I think everyone has these small, you know, home stereo speakers.
That's where you're wrong.
So you're talking about like the old Klipsch speakers,
and those flat ones, those totally flat electrostatic jobs.
Yeah,
check them out on eBay.
So that's
we are among you. We are amongst you.
So when you're doing,
walk amongst you.
Are you using the 180 gram vinyl when you're cutting your wax?
Well, that's hard to find now because there have been quotas put on that.
Right.
But you know, I think there's been a worldwide conspiracy against try and get a Shure 380 Triple E cartridge anymore. You can't.
Come on.
No.
So what do you do? Like, you have to try eBay or Sirius Collectors?
It's eBay. It's collectors.
Yeah. Got to do what you got to do to be,
you know,
be a guy.
But vinyl is, you know, it's got to be analog.
Right.
So, all I can say to everyone out there in TV land, this kind of music, it's good for your brain. That's all I can say.
You make the argument. I mean, your music is approaching jazz, as you mentioned.
It's harder
than Alvin Ailer.
It's harder than jazz.
Charles Gayle.
Yes.
And that music requires.
Ornette Coleman.
Okay.
He's getting there.
Sun Ra.
Getting there, but.
How about Zappa? I mean, if you look at time, we didn't even talk about Zappa and his time signatures.
You know, all these guys, but, you know, what we're doing is we're taking all that and we're making it even harder.
Right.
Harder to listen to.
So, I guess for the uninitiated, where would you start? Would you start with some of those other artists before they tried getting into your music, or would you just say, give it a go? And
I think it's really all or nothing. I think what you got to do is you got to just take off your shoes, take off your shirt, put your bathing suit on, and jump right into the pool. Totally, 100%, just immerse.
Okay.
Immerse yourself in it. If you hate it, you'll know it. If you love it, you're never getting out of the pool again.
All right, tell me the name of the record again. The new one, I'm sorry.
The new record is called 34.72.
And the significance?
The significance is what you make it, what you bring to it.
I thought maybe it was like 37 minutes long or something like that.
The John Cage thing was a little bit of an inspiration because, you know, the silence thing.
Right.
Yeah. But now there's a sound. You see, what's the name of that?
You know, I wonder who came up with the tonal frequency of the siren. I mean, who actually invented that specific sound?
It's funny. I think Theremin had something to do with that, yeah.
That was really his name? I just thought that was the name of the instrument.
No, Eugene Theremin.
Right. The old Frankenstein movies, they used that in the soundtrack. Wasn't that the very first time they used that, was the Frankenstein movie?
Yeah, I think it was Frankenstein. And, of course, you know that the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, used
Good Vibrations.
That. Yeah. And that was... So we're rambling, but it's all within, you see, with that number,
right.
37.
Okay.
So check it out. Check out the site.
All right, Nick. Thanks for being on the... Thank you.
Dive into the pool.
Dive in the pool, man, with our men from Queuing in Excelsius.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Dusty Wright for the Culture Catch. Stay tuned for more good stuff. Let's go out with one of the songs from the new record.
It's not a song.
Sorry. Let's go out with one of the tracks, one of the performances from the new record. See you soon. You've been listening to Dusty Wright of the Culture Catch. I'd like to thank today's sponsors, WebHSP, WebHSP.com. For all of your web hosting needs, it's WebHSP. And our fine friends at FinalDraft.com. You need a script written? How about a podcast? How about a video? You got to check out Final Draft at FinalDraft.com. And our friends north of the border, Tony and the crew at LibertyBootCo.com. That's LibertyBootCo.com. The coolest cowboy boots on the planet. We'll see you soon. Converge is the word.